Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Good morning, Northern California.
It's March 24th, 2012, and my name is Mark Kent. I'm your host for Sovereign Minds. We are sponsored by North State Consultants, Inc., the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Let's see, what do we got going today? I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
Well, the fun never stops, and we got Nate, our all-around good guy, trusted soundboard sort of dude. What's up, Nate?
Not too much, just living in this circus.
Living in the dream. Living the dream, yeah, that's it. Boy, I'll tell you, circus is the word of the day, you know, when you look at the media. Holy moly. Okay, our guest today is going to be Brian Riley. He's from the Surprise
Tea Party in Arizona.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. We need Jim Neighbors on here. Surprise, surprise, surprise from Arizona. So anyway, yeah, okay, we got a couple things to cover here. But as always, your country, your children, your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you guys start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself. That's the key. Talk to your neighbors, go to a tea party meeting, get on the website, start doing what you can do to protect yourself from out of control government. You know, I should say out of control big government. You and your family need to protect yourself. The phone number here again is 530-605-4567, or go to the chat room at KCNR1460. I can also be reached at KentMark99@yahoo.com. Do we have any veterans events?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple things I want to mention. First of all, this is for Dave out there. They wanted me to mention about Camp for Life that is happening June 1st through the 5th, and Camp Hope, and that's happening from June 5th through the 10th, and that's out at Whiskey Town. And this, these camps are for children from abused families and also for children that have been diagnosed with serious illness. So they're looking for donations to help with the camps and volunteers to help with the camps out there at Whiskey Town. So you can call Mike at 243-8868 or Jeanne at 529-8482. And also, I want to remind everybody about the Boondockers Ball that's coming up next Saturday. Be a lot of fun out there at the Jet Center. Help support the museum.
Okay. So we also have the Obamacare rally today.
Correct. From 12 to 2 on Patriot Corner, which is Dana and Hilltop.
Very good. And then on We the People Radio tomorrow, I'm not sure who we've got. It's about Obamacare. Maybe we can look up it later.
Yeah, well, I'll get that information. And then also Monday night, we have debates with the Board of Supervisors. All four will be in for District 4.
Very good. I just want to let everybody know the views and opinions of this show are not those of Ernie and Dave. So just in case you're listening out there. So the first quote I have is, whoever controls the media controls the mind. That's Jim Morrison. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. That's Mark Twain. So, you know, with that, we'll go right into our stories here. The first one, we're keeping up with president's problem as far as being eligible to be the president. It seems that now the latest is that the INS documents have been found, some of them, that show U.S. certificate issued to one East African-born child of a United States citizen in 1961. It seems that it's the only one that has been issued, and so from Kenya. And so it looks like the plot is getting thicker and thicker here, and the noose is getting tighter and tighter. The records show demographic status and classifications for passengers who were explicitly recorded at the INS and inspection station as individuals being born to a U.S. parent arriving from the Kenyan region of Africa between July 1st and December 31st. The information and the dates of this documentation are disturbing given the rare nature of issuance of certificates of citizenship for children who acquire their citizenship by birth to an incoming U.S. citizen in the particular this particular region of Africa. These dates not only align with the alleged dates of Obama's birth on August 4th, 1961, but also with evidence indicating that Ann Dunham departed from Hawaii beginning February 61, shortly after her undocumented marriage to Obama Sr. Also supported by this data is the implication of an African trip by the absence of Dunham's passport information, which is known to have existed from the 1960s, which was used in at least one occasion for her departure with Obama Jr. to Indonesia, where the two lived with Lolo's, I don't even know how you say that, Satoro. Dunham's second husband. If Dunham had filed for a renewal of an old passport rather than for a new passport in the mid-60s for the Indonesia trip, there would have been the common practice for the at the time for the life of a passport. This would have been indicated on the missing application, which would have been included in the series of documents released by an FOIA, that's Freedom of Information Act request, in the early 2010. So the point being here is that the stars are starting to line up here, and they're not looking too good for the commander and. I'm going to say just the commander.
Just the commander?
The commander at this point, because what I really want to say is not commander-in-chief, so we'll let it go. So, it's getting worse, guys, and there's evidently Sheriff Joe's got a ton more evidence out there that he's been scraping up, so he's going to have another press conference on the 31st of March, so stay tuned. This is not going to go away, and it's really showing how bad the media is, because when they won't even report on this stuff or dig up facts to show that there's something wrong with this report, it shows that they're not reporting anything, and this is a referendum on their inability to have a news published that is true, or at least controversial,
they don't even want to go there. They totally are blacking it out. That's
totally blackout.
Sure.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Total blackout. With
total blackout.
Well, in their minds, they've already proven it. They've already released it, and that argument should be over. If you watch, the left.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, the left and the right.
Oh, yeah.
Because the left and the right is no more left or right than, in my opinion, it's the old divide and conquer strategy. It's the Republicrats. They're not, or the Demopubs, whatever you want to call them. So.
Yeah, and if there isn't a problem, then why shouldn't they put the information out there? I mean, if there's nothing behind the scenes going on here.
Let me tell you, if they had some information to refute these claims, they'd be doing it. They would be plastering this all over the place about the Arpaio being a crackpot and all these investigators, misinformation, but they haven't got a thing, which kind of, in my mind, proves that there's something here. So with that, let's move on to the next thing. We got about a minute. I'm going to go through about five or six stories before we get our guest on here. I'm just going to skim them real quick. The first one is Meredith Whitney, moneynews.com. Tidal wave of muni bond defaults still coming. So all you guys out there that have invested in muni bonds, you might want to rethink your strategy, because that's going to be a problem here pretty soon. They're starting to, we're not Greece yet, but it's getting there. The technical defaults, and look how long it took Greece to become a technical default. So they're in sovereign and they're not paying their bills, and that's not going away. So you can either shut your eyes and ignore this and wait for it to jump up and bite you, or you can start planning, because it's coming. So anything else there?
Yeah, I was going to give the update. Tomorrow on We the People is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of Galen Institute.
Ah, and that's an Obamacare thing.
a public policy research organization, and yes, it's on Obamacare.
Very good. And next week, we're going to have Joe Arpaio's lead investigator, Mike Zullo. So with that, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460, home of the Free Fire.
Elizabeth Woodward
and Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us. For more information, bust on to wethepeopleradio.us, and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
It's the second anniversary of the passage of Obamacare. Join us this Sunday, March 25th, as We the People welcomes Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute, the organization she founded to promote free market health care reform. Grace will explain in chilling detail how the government has spent over $1 billion in stimulus money to build a scientific case for government rationing of health care.
Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
You don't want to miss the Anderson Walmart parking lot sale this weekend at the Anderson Walmart Supercenter through Monday. The parking lot will be filled with a huge selection of quality used cars and trucks at super savings. On-the-spot financing, super low interest rates, top dollar for trade-ins. This is the sale you've been waiting for. It's your time to buy and save. Quality pre-owned vehicles at tremendous savings from Crown Motors through Monday at the Walmart Supercenter in Anderson.
Hello, folks. I'm Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop. It's no wonder that Mount Shasta Springwater is the preferred choice here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. It's natural, it tastes good, and it's healthy for you. If you are not drinking Mount Shasta Springwater, you owe it to yourself to give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-922-6227 and start enjoying the refreshing taste of Mount Shasta Springwater today. When you call, tell them you want the Bob the Drop special. Mount Shasta Springwater, naturally the best.
Strolling through the crowd like Pete Tolara contemplating a crime. She comes out of the sun in a silk dress, running like a watercolor in the rain. Don't bother asking for an explanation, she'll just tell you that she came in the year of the cat.
Like that song. That's good stuff. Al Stewart, You're the Cat, just in case you wanted to know. All right, so we're back on. And so we've got one more story I want to cover here before we get to our guest, Brian Riley. And it's this is from ZeroHedge.com, and this is titled Corzine Corzined. Congressional panel finds former MF Global chief ordered J.P. Morgan fund transfer. This is the old MF Global thing where somebody should have gone to jail because nobody knew what happened. And, you know, it just vanished, all the $1.6 billion or whatever it is now, up to $1.7, $1.8, whatever. The only thing that could top the today's epic market insanity and hilarity would be that Corzine himself is about to be Corzined. This is just released from Bloomberg. MF Global's Corzine ordered funds to be moved to J.P. Morgan, memo says. Corzine directed direct instructions cited by congressional panel. MF Global transfer was used to cover overdraft, panel says. MF Global findings cited in memo obtained by Bloomberg News. So we can add perjury to felony embezzlement, which means that we now have to wait to just find out which MF-er or JPM-er was given the promise of untold millions if they'd only get fab-toured for a few years and spend 5 to 7 minimum in security state prison instead of our brave Johnny Corzine. Yeah, the hits just keep coming. You can't make this stuff up. So it looks like Mr. Corzine has a problem here, you know, because this is, you know, this is where they have courses on remedial license plate manufacturing, you know, and, you know, you learn how to make wallets and sand things. So
that's all right. He'll be kept busy.
Yeah, he'll be really busy. It's not, it's a little step down from, you know, CEO Goldman Sachs, but, you know, but he might be, he could probably learn something in stir. Maybe the kitchen, how to stir.
Oh, maybe. He may be in the pot, though.
We'll see where this goes. Yes. I'm not betting on this yet, but I'll tell you what, the plot sickens. So with that, let's bring our guest on, Brian Riley from Surprise Arizona Tea Party. Are you there, Brian?
Yeah, good morning. How are you folks?
Oh, the fun never stops.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. So, you know, it's really a privilege and an honor to have you on the show, considering you guys got this whole... I'm not sure. Debacle, I guess, is the best word. Started.
Just trying to hold people accountable and find the truth. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's gone out of style. What were you guys thinking?
Well, let me tell you. The good Lord gave me the idea to actually try to have the rule of law enforced through the state of Arizona, since nobody on the federal government level, whether it was the DOJ or the Congress or the judiciary or the media would look into any of these allegations regarding Mr. Obama's birth certificate. And on April 27th, when the White House released a PDF copy of the alleged birth certificate of Barack Obama, I went to their website, looked at it, downloaded the PDF file, and magnified it up to 3,400%. And it didn't look like any photocopy I'd ever seen. And I started to think about it. I started to talk about my wife, Denise, you know, about these issues. And I started driving people crazy about how in the world could this guy be operating under this, what looks like a forgery. And so I looked up the Arizona Revised Statutes on forgery and fraud, and it's very specific regarding issues having to do to deal with identity papers. And I came up with the idea that if nobody else will enforce the rule of law, fortunately I live in Maricopa County, and I thought, you know what, let's put on an event, get as many signatures on a petition as we can, and go forward to the sheriff and ask him to do an investigation to look into the authenticity of the document. Not the eligibility of the president, but just the authenticity of the document. And I have to tell you right off the bat, I'm not a birther. You know, birthers get, you know, that name gets thrown around everywhere, and all I'm doing is just trying to, as an American, I'm just trying to seek the truth and know what's going on in our country and know who the President of the United States is, because nobody seems to know.
Do you have any legal background, Brian? It sounds like you do a little bit of legal research.
I did a... I don't have any legal background, but I read a book by a couple of congressmen years and years ago, and it was called How to Fight Government. And basically what I gleaned from that one particular book is know the law better than they do. And if you know the law and you do research regarding the law, you can accomplish amazing things, because in general these folks don't understand the law.
You know, it reminds me of the revolution. You know, the British would get really irritated with the colonists because they kept saying they keep talking about their rights. They all read and they all know their rights. It's like a problem, you know. I mean,
yeah. Knowledge is a problem sometimes.
Yeah, depending on if you're trying to be the king or not, I guess.
Exactly.
So, yeah, anyway, go ahead, Brian. I couldn't help but interrupt.
But anyhow, so we went forward to the sheriff, and mind you, I know one particular pastor that's been trying to get in to see the sheriff for 10 years, and he hasn't been successful. I made one phone call and told the secretary that I wanted to speak about law enforcement issues. And she said, well, what exactly are you going to be talking about? I said, well, law enforcement issues. And so she says, okay, well, we'll call you back at 10 o'clock the next day and confirm the appointment. And sure enough, I got a call the next day, and we were in to see the sheriff. We had an appointment for August 18th after our meeting with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who gave the presentation about his book, Where's the Birth Certificate? Now, my wife and I personally invited him to come to give the presentation because we needed somebody to draw a number of people so that we could get sufficient signatures on petitions to take to Sheriff Arpaio. And on August 17th, we gave a we put together a 2.5-hour meeting by the Surprise Tea Party, and also the Sun City West Tea Party attended, and other tea parties, and just citizens attended. And in that time, it was amazing. 350 people came to the meeting, and we gathered 242 petitions asking the sheriff to investigate the birth certificate. And we went in the next day, five of us, and the first thing the sheriff said was, well, wait a second, you're telling me 350 people got together in my district and I didn't know about it? And we said, well, I said, yeah, well, we didn't want you to know about this. And he says, well, why would you not want me to know about this? I said, well, because when we brought this, we knew what we were going to bring into you, and we didn't want the media to have any ability of saying that you were part of this. So we wanted to keep you totally in the dark so you could make a decision based on the information that we provided to go forward, because if there was going to be a criminal investigation, we didn't want the media to be able to say it was tainted in any way. So we kept it in the dark.
That's good thinking. Absolutely. What do you think? Why do you think that the rule of law is so important?
Well, we either are an organized, civilized society based on the rule of law, or we have anarchy. And what's wonderful about our country, we have a constitution that protects the individual. It actually recognizes the rights of the individual. Without the constitution, you have mob rule, and therefore the majority rules. And that's not the way a country, and that's not the way America is supposed to be operating according to the Constitution. So it's very, very important to know that the individual is basically a majority of one, not going with the majority, not going with Chicago politics where you get a whole bunch of people together and you do what you're going to do any way you want to do it. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, the founding, a lot of people think we're a democracy, and the founding fathers called it a mobocracy. They said that a democracy was the worst form of government because sooner or later the mob would vote out everybody's rights, even their own. And, the other thing about the rule of law is that that's the old thing on the field of Runnymede with King John where, you know, is the king subject to the law or not? And if he's not subject to the law, then he makes the law, and he can do anything he wants. He can steal your property. He can, take your wife, cut your head off, whatever it is, and there's
exactly.
Nothing you can do about it. So I think people need to understand that. But it's a good point about the mobocracy, because we are a republic, a constitutional republic, not a democracy. The media has been pushing that for years.
Exactly. They've been trying to brainwash us to that way. And let me continue with my thoughts here.
Sure.
When we presented the information to the sheriff on August 18th, it was absolutely really amazing. We prayed before we went in, and we were praying that Sheriff Arpaio's heart would be really open to what we were attempting to do. One of the other things that he said when we walked in is he said, "You're asking me to investigate the President of the United States," and I got to tell you, we looked at him. We said, "Yeah, we're asking you to look into this document." And you have to understand, he was surrounded by brass like you would not believe. I mean, he had his whole upper echelons of his department there listening to what we were presenting. And they all, you could see it in their faces. How are we going to do this?
Right. And it was daunting task.
There was one point where Sheriff Arpaio looked up at the ceiling and just thought for a minute and came down, and his head came down, and he looked at us. He says, "I know exactly what we're going to do." And so
hold that thought, Brian. We got to go to a break, and we'll be back.
All right.
It's KCNR. Go ahead.
1460, home of the Free Fire Radio. If you want to give us a call, 605-4567. And we'll see you on the other side.
Some really neat things too, right?
Yes. With paid admission, Orchard Supply Hardware is offering a free plant that we give away. And then also Carol's Lock and Key is offering a free house key cut with your paid admission.
So that's cool. You can come down and take advantage of those. And I know if people are making it down today, if they don't make it, something really cool going on tomorrow also.
On Sunday, we have the first annual Grillers Cup barbecue competition. The barbecuers have all their stuff turned in by 1 o'clock, and then they're going to be sampling what's left over. So come down and help support Seroptimus International of Anderson Cottonwood.
And you got some good food, I'm sure.
Of course, ribs.
You got the pros cooking it up, so this is going to be good. So hope you will come check it out today until 6 p.m. Fairgrounds in Anderson. Support your local community and your local businesses.
There's new coffee in the store at Tobacco and Brew. Full beans by the pound. Portland blend. A rich flavor with a moderate body. And how about a favorite? Italian rose. Dark flavor with an enticing aroma. Try the coffee special of the month. Cookies and cream. A blended 20-ounce drink for just $3. Can you imagine a blended 20-ounce drink for just $3? What else, Carl?
Tobacco and Brew has the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Walk in and find any cigar that you could possibly want at great prices. Also, veterans get discounts at Tobacco and Brew.
And don't forget, Tobacco and Brew is closing out on their T-shirts and leather jackets at huge savings. Our favorite place to go, Tobacco and Brew, for all your coffee and specialty needs. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
But for now, I find
We're trying to change the world out there, guys.
Get the truth out there as much as we can.
Absolutely. 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire. We're back, and we're back with Brian Riley from Arizona. Surprise. I keep wanting to say sunrise, but I know it's surprise.
Surprise. This whole thing has been a surprise to a lot of people.
I think maybe it should be shocked, Arizona. So where were we? We were talking about your meeting when you first went in with the sheriff, and you presented this to him.
Yeah, we went in. The five of us went in. Dr. Corsi went in as a journalist to report what was happening, and we presented all the information. I can't believe I actually sat there and read the Arizona Revised Statute to Sheriff Arpaio, but I guess I was trying to make a point that I knew what I was talking about, and. At that point, the sheriff pretty much decided, he looked at us and he said, I want you to bring in all your information on August 22nd. I want you to be the go-between or the liaison between the sheriff's office and the surprise tea party, which I have been for the last 6-7 months. And basically, I'm the gopher. If they need anything, I get it for them. And he said that he was going to be assigning this to his posse. He had over 3,000 members, posse members, and basically he had a posse within a posse, which is called the cold case posse. Now, mind you, these are the folks that investigate, cold case crimes and so forth. And he said these folks are really, really good. And he said it won't cost me a dime because they're all volunteers and they are previous law enforcement and previous attorneys. And contrary to what the media says, the media has never met these people. I've met all five of the original cold case posse investigators, and I've met the sixth individual. The media continues to call them old geezers, and they're just a bunch of volunteers. But I have to tell you, these people are very, very professional, very intelligent, and they know what they're doing. And so from that point on, I was told that this investigation would be done with the, quote, utmost diligence, unquote. And I've been communicating often with the lead investigator, whose name is Mike Zullo of the Cold Case Posse.
Right, and Mike will be on the program next week.
Yeah,
excellent man. I mean, true American. I am so impressed with these people. And originally, when they started looking into this, they were hoping that they could put an end to all this discussion about the lack of authenticity to this document. So they were skeptical at first.
Okay? Well, didn't they just start out that they wanted to actually clear the president of
exactly. All
of this?
And even Sheriff Arpaio has said, it would be far better for America if we could just, clear the president, clear the document. And Sheriff Arpaio has made it really, really clear that he's said all along, we're not accusing the president of doing anything, but through the process of this investigation, it went a different way than what they expected, and they came up with the Selective Service Registration form of Barack Obama. There's probable cause to believe it's a criminal forgery. The long form birth certificate from Hawaii that's posted on the White House website, there's probable cause to believe that it's also a criminal forgery and that it was totally computer generated and it is not a photocopy of an actual paper document. The third thing that they came up with in the investigation, and again, this investigation went for 6 months and it's still going on. The third thing that they found was the Immigration and Naturalization Service records for incoming international flights, which are maintained at the National Archives in Washington, D.C., they discovered what they wanted to do is once they discovered that the birth certificate was not valid, they figured, well, maybe he was born outside the country. So they started checking these international flights, and they went to the microfilm, and they looked through 1961. And allegedly, the president was born August 4th, 1961. Well, what they found was the microfilm from August 1st through August 7th, 1961, was missing. This is at the National Archives.
That's kind of convenient.
Well, and which says, somebody within government had to remove that. The other thing about the significance of the Selective Service Registration Form is that it's directly tied to Barack Obama because his signature is on it. The Selective Service Registration was done on July 29th of 1980, and it was very, very clear in their investigation that the stamp that the post office used, another government agency, the stamp is controlled by the post office, and the actual print is manufactured specifically for the government, and it's under control. Somebody obtained these what are called pica print digits, and the date is supposed to be four numerals, and on Obama's it's only two. It shows 80 instead of 1980. And what somebody apparently has done was, and again, these stamp sets are produced in one decade cycles. So there's only one 1980, and there's only one 1999 or what have you, and somebody apparently got the decade that contains 2008. And what they did with the stamp was they sliced it in half, took the two and the zero away, took the zero and eight and reversed it, put it upside down to make an 80. And so they obtained, I believe it was like seven or eight 1980 Selective Service Registrations forms from the exact same post office in Hawaii, and all of them have four-digit 1980 instead of 80. And according to my understanding of the law, the digits are supposed to be four digits. So you've got all these situations coming up, and one of the reasons that Mike Zullo and I and others are going forward on radio interviews like this, the fourth thing that they found, the cold case posse, was that I'm told that threats have been coming down towards the mainstream, large mainstream media networks, especially one in particular that's known as being more conservative oriented, and people within that were interviewed were told that if they spoke about the birth certificate, that FCC sanctions or investigations could result with these networks. And it's my belief and their belief that the networks right at the moment are not discussing any of this because of threats that are coming down from the administration not to report it. And this has been consistent from the beginning of the investigation. The mainstream media has ignored this. I've told people that this investigation and the information that's been uncovered is probably one of the biggest constitutional problems or a crisis that we've faced in this country, at least in my lifetime. I went through Watergate and watched Watergate, and Watergate actually pales in comparison to what's happening with President Obama or his identification documents.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, Brian, that the media is not picking it up, but that is starting to get across the radio waves. I know, like, Rush Limbaugh has picked it up, and Roger Hedcock has picked up on this and has broadcasted some of it.
Well, they need to do a better job because so many people, as long as people are kept in the dark, they're not going to be able to make decisions as to what's happening with this country. And again, going back to Watergate was totally publicized. It was covered by the media, and President Nixon had the good sense to resign.
Well, it took a while for that to happen, though, and that's what I'm thinking is going to happen here, because this is not going to go away.
No, it's not going to go away.
And, you know, we're just going to keep pushing on this, because the truth is the truth, and this is important. If we lose the rule of law here, we might as well throw the Constitution out the window, and now we have a king, and, you know, just go from there. But listen, hold that thought, Brian. We've got we got to take a break here. We'll be back in a minute or two, and we'll keep pursuing the truth here. This is 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire.
Time was drifting, this rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
don't want to miss the Anderson Walmart parking lot sale this weekend at the Anderson Walmart Supercenter through Monday. The parking lot will be filled with a huge selection of quality used cars and trucks at super savings. On-the-spot financing, super low interest rates, top dollar for trade-ins. This is the sale you've been waiting for. It's your time to buy and save. Quality pre-owned vehicles at tremendous savings from Crown Motors through Monday at the Walmart Supercenter in Anderson.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Mark your calendar. You don't want to miss the 2012 Boondocker Ball to benefit the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. March 31st, join your friends for a 1940s USO-style event at the Redding Jet Center at Municipal Airport with social hour at 5:30 and dinner starting at 6:30 p.m. Music provided by the Straight Ahead Big Band. Tickets are on sale now at Jones Ford on East Cypress and Tobacco and Brew on Hilltop. You can also call 378-2280. More information at norcalveteransmuseum.org.
Back, Sovereign Minds. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I don't care who you are. It's just getting more and more here.
Yeah, the arrogance of this administration is staggering at this point, if you ask me, and that's just my personal opinion, not the opinion of Dave or Ernie, but, you know, I mean, it's like, really? So, anyway, let's get back to Brian here, that you're doing such a good job. We did have a question about Andrew Breitbart, if you knew that the sheriff was working with him, and, you know, do you have any feelings on that?
Big pause, big sigh. I'm going to tell you guys something that, okay, I always like speaking the truth, okay? And it's my understanding that Mr. Breitbart did not call the sheriff the day before the interview, okay? And there is reason to believe that Mr. Breitbart did not call and that he... The phone call that came in were two individuals that pretty much misrepresented themselves as being connected to Breitbart. So, you know, it's been extensively reported throughout the media. And as far as my understanding goes, it was two individuals that misrepresented themselves as being connected to Breitbart. So I can't really say anything more than that.
Did you hear his CPAC speech when he was saying that he has video that was going to bring down Obama?
I've read about it. I've read about it, and I believe that he has documentation or had documentation according to what he's said in the past. However, it doesn't seem, from what I've read, that the organization that's left since his passing is going forward as strongly as...
Yeah, they're not going to vet it.
No,
yeah,
I don't believe they will, and yeah. I think that, you know, everything, you know, the roosters are coming home to roost on this thing. And there's, you know, a lot of people are very much afraid out there. They're concerned, and people are afraid of losing their jobs. And, you know, this is how it works.
Yeah, these guys better be a little bit more afraid of bigger things happening if we don't put a stop to this.
And going back to what we were talking about earlier, the results of the investigation, I have to tell you, my wife and I were two of five people, civilians, that were invited to the press conference on March 1st. And I personally witnessed the attacks that came down on the sheriff's office, Sheriff Arpaio, Mike Zullo, the lead investigator. They weren't interested in the facts that were, I mean, this is the first time in the history of the country that a sheriff's office has investigated identity documents of a sitting president. Never happened before. And all these people could do was ridicule and malign the messengers. You know, the typical Saul Alinsky method, you know, you
ridicule
people.
Yeah, anything that you want to discredit, you ridicule it, discredit it, and then everybody quits paying attention to it, because, yeah.
Exactly, but I have to tell you, when the sheriff's office and Mike Zullo went over the Selective Service Registration form, there was probably 30 to 40 news people there, cameras, everything. You could hear a pin drop in that room. When the sheriff's office started to review their information on the selective, they never expected that the Selective Service Registration form would come up as a probable forgery. Now, and then after they recovered from their shock, then they started attacking again. And pretty consistently here in Phoenix, even with conservative radio talk, they've attacked the messengers instead of trying to refute the facts. And they can't refute the facts because the facts are the facts. And again, this is the first time there's been a law enforcement investigation using all of their abilities and capabilities to get to the bottom of something. This is not just, you know, a bunch of people going out and saying, well, they think it's a forgery when it's never been researched. This is the first time this has happened, and this puts the state of Arizona in a very, very unique situation. You've seen across the country all these eligibility
challenges,
cases and everything, challenges and so forth. And according to my research of the law, and I can't go into it, you will never, ever see an eligibility challenge through the court on this particular situation being successful. It'll never happen. So Arizona is very, very unique. We have criminal allegations that the forgeries have been committed by somebody. Who it is, we don't know. They don't know. Our next step here in Arizona, we tried to get an eligibility bill passed. In the last session, it did get passed. The governor vetoed it.
Well, that seems strange. I mean, why would she veto it?
Well, in defense of the governor, she had just signed SB 1070, which is the illegal immigration bill that is being challenged in court, and many states are introducing their own versions of SB 1070, which is again the illegal immigration bill. She took a lot of heat for that. Then they came to her with this eligibility bill, and she caved. She caved because of the other bill, and this is my own opinion. She caved on it, and also there were some issues in the eligibility bill itself that didn't make a lot of sense. For whatever reason, they put in that identification documents that would be considered were, you know, baptismal records and circumcision records. Well, why in the world would you put that into an eligibility bill? I don't know, you know. But so she was repelled by that and refused to sign it. So another eligibility bill is in the works right now. It's moving very, very slowly through the Arizona legislature. What we're doing, one of the fellows in our Tea Party, he came up with an Arizona statute, which is ARS 41-121-1. And the fellow's name is Jeff Lichter. He's in our surprise Tea Party. And he likes to research the law just like I do. And he found this. And basically it says the Secretary of State shall receive bills and resolutions from the legislature and perform such other duties as devolve upon the Secretary of State by resolution of the two houses or either of them. So, essentially what this means is that either the House or the Senate can come up with a resolution. And what I've done is I've written a petition based on this statute. We're going to be putting on a presentation March 31st at the Church of the Green, the Church on the Green in Sun City West. It holds about 1,000 people, and the whole space has been donated by the church so that we can inform the public as to what's going on. And basically, what's going to happen is with a resolution, you don't need the governor's approval. You don't need her signature. And either the Senate or the House can draft a resolution that orders the Secretary of State to write a letter to the Democratic National Committee Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz asking for identification papers that identify who Mr. Obama is, and these identification papers, certified source documents, must be acceptable and satisfactory to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, the Cold Case Posse, the Secretary of State, and the Arizona State Legislature. And based on that information, we're asking the state to consider not putting Barack Obama on the ballot based on the lack of identification papers for the or valid identification papers. The petition that I wrote up, it's really, really short, pretty much defines what I just said, and this is what's going to be circulating at the meeting. And then 2 days later, we're going to be submitting it to the legislature and the Secretary of State. It says, we, the undersigned Arizona citizens, are requesting that the Arizona House and or the Arizona Senate pass a resolution directing Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett to send a certified letter to Democratic National Committee Chairperson Debbie Wasserman Schultz, requesting that she produce certified source documents that are satisfactory to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office that positively identify the U.S. natural born citizenship and the Selective Service System registration of Barack Hussein Obama II. With the recent findings of the MCSO cold case posse, there is probable cause to believe that Barack Hussein Obama II's Selective Service System registration form and his State of Hawaii certification of live birth form are criminal forgeries. It is imperative to determine Barack Hussein Obama II's status regarding his eligibility to be placed on the 2012 Arizona ballot. And that's the petition that we will be circulating March 31st.
Listen, we're starting to run out of time. I've also heard that if she doesn't respond to that and there are charges, that she could be charged under the RICO Act for racketeering and organized crime as well. So,
you know, I haven't researched that, but that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So, listen, Brian, we really want to thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. And also, is there... for the listeners out there, if they want to do some investigating on their own about what's going on, is there a website or something that they can go to and get some of the information?
What I'd suggest that they do is they go to www.wnd.com. That's worldnetdaily.com. They have been probably the most... they've been excellent as far as reporting what's going on. Jerome Corsi is doing a lot of the articles. Bob Unruh is doing a lot of the articles, and they've been very
active. Listen, okay, we hate to cut you off, Brian, but we're going to cut us off here.
Yeah, we got
30
seconds.
So thank you again for coming on. We appreciate it and hope to have you back in the future.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds.
God bless.
All right, thanks a lot, Brian. God bless you as well. You
bet.
Okay, so let's see. Anything else we need to cover before we got like 20 seconds here? Okay. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. That's Thomas Jefferson. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is not it is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And don't forget about the rally today, 12 to 2, and go to the Reading Tea Party on Monday night. We got the Bates. See y'all next week.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Louisiana holds its primary today. Newt Gingrich is hoping to pick up a few delegates, but it will be tough.
The RealClearPolitics.com average of major polls in Louisiana this month shows Newt Gingrich polling at around 18% and Ron Paul stuck in single digits. And the way Louisiana awards its delegates, Gingrich will not pick up any if he fails to garner 20% in today's voting.
Fox's James Rosen, Mitt Romney has been telling Louisiana voters he needs their support to consolidate his lead. Romney has half the delegates needed to secure his nomination and twice as many as his closest rival, Rick Santorum. But Santorum is favored in today's primary. Talking transportation and health care in the weekly addresses.
Before he left for South Korea, President Obama warned Congress what will happen if it doesn't renew transportation funding.
Construction sites will go idle. Workers will have to go home, and our economy will take a hit.